Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
An Erio's original.
Hello, and welcome to Web Crawlers, the podcast where we do a deep dive into some of our favorite mysteries. Each week, we will introduce our topic, lay out our research and findings, reveal some conspiracy theories, and conclude with our own hypothesis. I am Allie Siegel, and today we have very special guests, Michelle and Ashley from the That's So Fucked Up podcast. Do you guys say the fucked up part, or what do you say?
Interestingly, we recently went through a rebrand. Our name was first That's So Fucked Up, and then I was trying to do Facebook and Instagram marketing, and they were like, you can't cuss. And I was like, okay, well, what if I put an asterisk? And they were like, that's implied profanity, and no. So I actually changed the name of the podcast to TSFU, but Now I just released a spinoff called That's So Fucked Up Presents, and you know what? I think That's So Fucked Up is just a lot more eye-catching than TSFU, and Mark Zuckerberg and his weird lizard ass can suck it, you know?
Can go fuck them.
Yeah.
I remember I was an editor at a website once, and when we would run articles that had like, I think it was like even the word vagina in the title, we wouldn't be able to advertise them on Facebook or Instagram. We wouldn't be able to run marketing for them or promote them. They're so strict. It's so weird.
Yeah. People are like burning kittens to death and there's like porn on there. I swear to God.
Yeah. And like, you know, all of the series of COVID's not real.
That
craziness. Like, that's fine. That's fine.
How dare you say vagina? Yeah. Because you guys have a similar podcast to us. I love your podcast. Tell us about, like, what it is, your episodes, what you guys do.
Yeah.
Well, TSFU, or That's So Fucked Up. I'm so confused now myself. I'm like, what the fuck is the name of this show?
Yeah.
It's been my baby for a couple years. I did have a former co-host, but she was also a film director, and she's doing awesome stuff in the film world now.
Oh, cool.
And it's pretty funny because it's a little bit of a Cinderella story with Michelle and I. I ended up moving to Denver. I was from California originally, but my ex-co-host and I never met. So I moved to Denver.
That's insane.
I know, right? We co-hosted together for 2 years.
How did you find each other in the first place if you'd never met before?
Craigslist. Isn't that wild?
So perfect.
Isn't that wild?
Oh my God.
And it like worked out for 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, but then she wanted to go work on her film career, and she has like a more investigative journalism type podcast that she wants to work on, which is super like not my style, obviously. Yeah. And Michelle was one of our $30 patrons because at the $30 level, you get to co-host a listener-sode, which is where listeners send in episodes. So Michelle, why did you sign up to be a patron?
So yeah, I'd been a long time listener, first time patron. and then through kind of like listening, becoming a patron, talking to Ash a little bit on the Instagram, I was like, hey, you live in Colorado. Like, so do I. If this isn't weird and stalkery, do you want to meet up? And we just started hanging out and became friends. And when Cam and her parted ways, so Cam could pursue her, directorial things, it was like, here I am. And I've got, years and years of practice and research on what a podcast should sound like. So maybe I could help be on one. And yeah, and just kind of slid right in, and here we are.
That's what she said.
Yeah, a couple. nice. It was a good one.
But Michelle signed up too, from what you told me.
Oh, Michelle. Yeah. I signed up because co-hosting a listener episode was like at the $30 level, like that was what you got to do. So I was like, well, obviously I'm going to do that and like get to co-host an episode with these guys. And
and she did such a great job just like bantering with us that, you know, when Cam and I decided to go do our own things, I was just like, I already knew. I was like, Michelle's a natural. So that's our love story.
Well, guys, people who are guest hosting with me, who knows? Maybe you guys can replace Melissa if Melissa never wants to come back. So who knows what will come from this listener guest hosting?
Melissa's editing this like, no!
Yeah, she's like, what? I'm going to edit this. What is your podcast about? Like, what are some of your favorite episodes? Things like that.
Cults, murder, and other generally fucked up stuff.
Amazing.
So for this was actually why I became a listener, is because I loved the variety in topics. And also I think what drew me to web crawlers is like, you know, you've got a mix of cults and cults and clowns and murder and disappearances and everything in between.
We have all those too.
Yeah. And so it's like, it really has, I think, a little something for everyone. And we try to present it in kind of that more like lighter, more conversational, more palatable, so that if you do love true crime, but also like don't love the super heavy tone, it makes it easier to, you know, to digest. It's the conversations that you have with your friends who are also obsessed with true crime, but just in podcast form.
Yeah. It's like after you've watched a documentary and you're talking about the documentary with your friends.
Yes. Well, actually, Ash, you want to talk about the Binge or Bust segment that we
actually
watched?
Yeah. So when I started That's So Fucked Up, I really wanted to not just be like pigeonholed to murder, because I don't know, murder's like so basic, you know, but like I wanted to be able to talk about fucking shark attacks and just like weird ass shit, just whatever the fuck. Yes. I want anything that makes you go, Jesus Christ, that's so fucked up. We try to keep it pretty open and do what we want on the show. So we started a new segment called Binge or Bust, where every other week I basically just break down a documentary for Michelle. I tell her kind of exactly how it goes.
I love that. That is so great.
Which, Ash, we've got House of Hammer coming. We're recording that Friday, right?
Oh, yeah. I saw you guys did House of Hammer.
It's a doozy. It's a doozy.
I'm only on episode one right now because I'm trying to stay fresh, as always.
It's an interesting one. Well, if people want to listen to your podcast, what do they search? TSFU or?
Yeah, I think TSFU or That's So Fucked Up. It'll come up on either of those.
Okay, good.
Yeah, any Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Awesome. Okay, guys, we'll definitely get into that. Now, I am so excited for your main episode. Guys, take the reins. You are the captain.
Woo!
Now.
Look at me. Yeah, I'm the captain
now. The captain now. Get into it, as we say. Yeah. Let us know what your episode is about.
Excellent. So we are going to be talking about Terry Hoffman. And she is a cult leader of the conscious development cult. And so she's been attributed to at least 10 mysterious deaths. So in thinking about, you know, in the spirit of web crawlers and the do the research and let you come up with your own theories, we thought that a podcast with some mysterious deaths would be the right way to go. And one of those deaths happened in ashes in my home state of Colorado. So,
oh, fuck.
A little bit of a home tie.
That's crazy. The guest from yesterday, the murder happened in her hometown, too.
No way.
It's yeah, this is a real fun hometown thing.
So Terry Hoffman was born March 21st, 1938 in Fort Stockton, Texas, into an impoverished family. Father was an alcoholic. He was rarely around. Their family didn't have a lot of money. And so, like, of course, because she was poor and her father was an alcoholic, the kids made fun of her in her neighborhood.
It's
like kids are
so nice.
Assholes. So she had a momentary excitement because she thought, oh, I'm going to have a new friend, when her mom said, hey, I'm pregnant. We're going to have a baby sister. And then her sister was born stillborn. So Terry had a rough go of it. But at 4 years old, she claims she had a vision where three men in robes told her that she could do or be anything that she wanted if she just wanted it badly enough, and that when she was troubled, she should just pray to God and he would listen. At four.
Uh-oh. It was three men or 12 men? Sorry.
It was three men in robes. Yeah.
That sounds like some, wasn't there three apostles or something?
Three wise men.
Yeah.
That brought.
And like Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Three's a real spiritual number.
There's a big number.
It's also the mark of the beast. So, you know.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
It's 666.
Yeah. Anyhow.
You know, Terry's like, all right, sweet. I'll just like keep thinking about God and everything will be great. And then when she's nine, her mother passes away from tuberculosis. Effectively leaving her an orphan because her father was like so absent in her life. And her dad's like, look, I kind of don't want to raise a kid, so I'm going to take you to an orphanage. So like,
how do you do that after 9 years? It's not like it's been a couple years and like
they've like lived a whole like almost a whole decade with you. And you're like,
yeah, you have a whole ass kid.
They're like,
you're like,
this is kind of a lot.
You're really harshing my vibe here, so have fun. But while she was at that orphanage, she like got really close with this nun who I didn't realize Lutherans had nuns, the more you know. And the nun taught her about like metaphysics and the Akashic Records, which have you guys heard of the Akashic Records before?
I have. I've had my Akashic Records read. I'm not.
Stop it. By who?
Oh, wait. Tell us more.
I've actually had my Akashic Records read twice, just by like rando psychics and like Akashic Record readers. I'm woo-woo in that way where I love that stuff. I don't think, is it real? I don't know. I think that there's people on Earth who know all the mysteries of the universe? No. But sometimes you get pearls of wisdom from it. I don't know.
Ellie, I keep manifestation cards and a set of Leo crystals next to my desk. Okay. So like, you don't have to worry about being too woo-woo around here. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. So it's like, it's kind of, and so correct me if I'm wrong, Ellie, it's kind of like the whole record of like the past and present and future of the universe and all of the people's roles in it. Was this like your past lives and stuff?
Yeah, it's like essentially Akashic Records is they believe that like, or the belief is that the entire story, like your fate is written in a book, like your past lives, like your present life and all your future choices are already written. And these people believe they can tap into the Akashic Records and tell you like about your past life, what your current life is going to be, what your future choices are going to be. I don't listen.
Oh my god.
It's really okay, interesting because Terry actually reminds me a lot of Teal Swan. Like as you listen to the story, yeah, you'll totally get Teal Swan vibes.
I just want the hookup for who can read my Akashic Records.
I will email you who did.
This is what I need. This is what I need in my life. But only if they're good. So
I like them.
Oh, yes. Excellent. So she also, while she's there, she learns about reincarnation, and that really kind of shaped how, like, her perspective on life and death. Again, I find this super weird because reincarnation totally doesn't mesh with, like, Lutheran Christian beliefs. But
yeah,
I mean, I don't know. This is kind of Terry's account of, like, what happened to her growing up. So we can, I suppose, probably take it with a little grain of salt. But
yeah,
it makes sense that she would cling on to this because, like, one, she's like, oh, I've paid my penance. Like, I'm only 9 and my life has been this hard. Like, I'm clearly saving up for something good in a future life. Right. And two, apparently she was kind of like, yeah, all these kids who are bullying me, just wait till they... Yeah, they're going to get it. They're going to come back as, like, a caterpillar or something.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm curious
about who this rogue nun is.
Oh, my God. That is so funny. I was going to call her the rogue nun as well. First of all, I was like, whoa, just, like, renegade nun over here.
Yeah.
What?
Like a plant or something? What's so bizarre?
She's like, hey, yeah. I know we talk about this stuff in church, but, like, let me tell you the real what's up.
What's really going on?
Let's read your Akashic records. Don't worry about heaven or hell because it's all about reincarnation.
But can I also say that, like, as my understanding works, you don't get karma points by having bad things happen to you. You get karma points by doing good things.
Doing it.
Yes.
It's, you know, Terry... I don't know if you understand. She's karma.
She's just real hopeful. She's not.
Well, fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, but grow up, you know?
Grow up, Terry. Read a book, Terry. So she basically starts believing that she is special and begins to believe that she is Teresa of Avila, who's a nun from the 16th century that was known for being a mystic. And she believes she is the reincarnation. So, like, at nine. The year that I was, like, putting on dance routines of Hit Me Baby One More Time and, like, pretending I was a Power Ranger, she's like, I'm a reincarnated nun?
Yeah, this is...
That's me.
Interesting life.
Intense.
What year is this again? Like, what era it is this?
So she's born 1938, so at nine it would have been 1947.
Oh, okay.
So in the 40s. I don't know. Yeah, maybe they just didn't have, like, as cool stuff back then.
Yeah.
The old, like, stick and hoop game stopped being fun. Yeah. So she's like,
the ball in a cup.
She's like, I'm a mystic nun. So 2 years later, she's 11. She gets adopted by a couple from Dallas and is renamed Terry Lee Benson. They move her to Dallas. She's, like, super stoked on just living a normal, like, middle class lifestyle. They give her attention. I guess she, like, had a little bit of some squabbles with her adopted mom because her mom was like, why isn't this girl, like, assimilating into our family as quickly as I thought she would?
Yeah.
But, you know, overall, it's, I mean, way better than what she had. And until at 14 years old, when she's kind of having some of these struggles and things with her family, and she meets and begins dating 18-year-old truck driver John Wilder.
At 11?
At 14.
Okay.
Sorry. So she's lived with the family for a couple years, and at 14, she meets John Wilder, truck driver.
I'm all, oh, he's okay. 18. Like, that's fine. 11's a lot worse, but 14 is...
11's worse.
But 14 is still really bad.
Still really bad. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Her parents didn't approve. So they did what any teenage couple would do and ran off to Oklahoma to get married behind their parents' backs.
Oh, God.
Where the marriage age is 14, apparently. Yeah. Or was it the time?
Probably 7.
They're like, just whenever. You can say I do.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah. Once you're out of diapers, you can get married.
Yeah, it tracks. Hey, they were doing it in the Bible at like 14, so makes sense. So John and Terry are married in 1953. They have 3 children. Kathy, who was born in 1954 when Terry was just 16, which, like,
oh, poor girl.
Oh, my God. Kenneth, who was born 4 years after that, and then Virginia, who was born 5 more years after that. So 3 kids and just kind of lived a quiet life. But Terry soon kind of got a little itchy, became a little discontented, you know, because she's a reincarnated nun. So, yeah, like, probably the stay-at-home mom life is maybe not giving her the fulfillment
she has stuff to
was
do.
Dreaming of. She got some mysticisms. So she finds a group of people in her area that are interested in the spiritual stuff that she loves. They begin meeting regularly, meditating, talking about the meaning of life, you know, just like the normal mommy and me kind of group stuff. And she starts telling them about her visions. And they were like the first people that she felt comfortable revealing this side of herself to. And this was a really big deal for her. And at first, her husband, John, is like, oh, this is just like a harmless hobby. Gets her out of the house for a little bit. Buys her some books, supports her in pursuing it. And then he, as she becomes more and more invested in the group and less invested in the family, he's like, okay, like,
what's going on?
Yeah, this was fine. But like, also, we got three kids and I don't know, I'm a man in the 50s. So like, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
So
listen, guys, yeah.
Get in the kitchen.
What are you fucking doing out here?
Yes. Put on your gingham dress and your petticoat and your apron. Go do the things. But in the 1960s, she really starts coming into her own, leading meditation sessions in her home with a group of local high schoolers and starts teaching them. Because apparently, that's, I mean, weird. You know what? I think about being in high school, like, dude, I was a weird high schooler. I get it. So she's teaching them everything she'd learned about spiritualism and karma. And they were just like, they were stoked on all of this. They're like, this is so cool. So we just have to like do good stuff. And we like get to get reincarnated. And
oh my God.
It turns into like, they go from this meditation to like almost this like deep led hypnotism where she'd say like, oh, we're going to go on a tour of the astral realm and we're going to visit Buddha and the temples. And so she'd be like, you know, but Allie, look at the temple. What color are the bricks? And then Allie, you'd be like, red. Yeah. And she'd be like, yeah, that's right. They are red. And everyone would be like, yeah, they're red. I see them.
No. Oh,
and then she'd be like, Ashley, what does the sky look like? And you're like, there's rain clouds. And she's like, yeah, there are rain clouds. And so it was just this very like, you know, very self like closed ecosystem of like groupthink and hive mind. And so she starts telling them about how she can see into the Akashic records and is like, hey, guess what, I can tell you if the person you're dating right now is your soulmate. And so Terry just goes willy-nilly and starts like, yep, you guys are soulmates. You guys need to break up. You guys are soulmates. You guys need to break up.
Where are these kids' parents?
Where were anyone's parents in the 60s
or like ever?
Forever.
Yeah. Also, like, so how did she find these high schoolers? Like, that's so weird. She wasn't in high school. Like, I mean, I know she was young, but she wasn't.
No, I think she just starts like leading these meditation sessions and like the people who followed her into this and like who were interested in following her were mostly high school kids.
Handing out flyers at like the sock hop. It's just weird.
Let's go Hi, to kids. The hop.
Oh, baby. Yeah. Have you ever wondered if the person you're dating is your soulmate? Do you want to see mysterious temples of Buddha? Join me on Tuesday nights for free appetizer.
Come.
Yeah. Appetizers provided. Bring your own jello mold. This whole time, John is like watching his wife kind of like mind control a group of high schoolers. And he's like, Yep. And it seems to be tradition. Terry kind of quickly moves from like being able to see things to then saying she can do things. Her son dislocated his thumb at a picnic and she claims she healed him through meditation. Realistically, that guy probably just has like a real crooked thumb now.
Yeah, or she just popped that thing back in.
And she's like, I healed you. Yeah. She told people that she would levitate in her bed at night.
Did the husband verify this?
Probably not. Nah. No, I'm gonna bet he did not.
Mm-mm. He was probably sleeping with a mistress at this time. I doubt he was in that bed at night.
Yeah, he was like, this is fucking wild. Doing.
Yeah. He's like, my wife's crazy. I need help. She says that her precognition is developing. And so one day she brings one of the followers in and she's like, hey, your friend is going to die in a car accident on his way home unless we meditate right now. And then they meditated and then the friend made it safely. Cool. And she was like, see?
Oh, my God.
It's like, I'm like, man, I can't wait to like be like, hey, see that person crossing the street? They're not going to make it safely unless I meditate on them right now.
Yeah. Unless Look, give me $10.
Yeah, give me $10. I'll save them. And when Jimi Hendrix died, because mind you, she's like leading a group of high schoolers in the 60s, her high school student meditation followers were like, of course, just forlorn. So she's like, don't worry, we're going to meditate and clear his karmic debt. Because they were like, oh my God, he did drugs and alcohol. He has bad debt. He's going to get a bad reincarnation. And she's like, we've got this. We're going to clear his karmic debt by meditating. Oh, and she convinced the whole room that they could hear his music playing. So everyone's like, we hear Jimmy. And
Jesus Christ, this woman.
It's, so she's a nutter. and yeah, so she loved her teen followers and they loved her. They like wanted her autograph. They brought her gifts. And as soon as they start bringing her gifts, she's like, hold on. I can make money and things off of this thing that I'm doing. So she realizes, though, that like teens are broke and she needs to find some adult followers with money. So she starts holding classes for adults. And this is where she formally names her cult Conscious Development of Body, Mind, and Soul, which rolls right off the tongue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So usually just shortened to Conscious Development Cult, and incorporates it into a business and starts asking for love offerings of $100 to $600 in today's money.
Well, okay, which, like, girl boss.
Can you ask for love offerings?
For doing what? Just like...
Just because they... Just for love. Like, hey, thanks for... Just for love. Just like, thanks for...
I feel bad asking for $5 a month for Patreon. I'm like, it's just like, know, one latte, you guys. Like, please.
Well, see, we just got to start calling them love offerings. And
yeah, love offerings.
Yeah, we would love some love offerings of at least $100.
So as her followers are building, one of her new followers, Glenn Cooley, who is 20 at the time, Terry's 33, Glenn's 20. He takes a particular liking to Terry and she's like, nice. So he's 13 years her junior. He's in college and was struggling with drug addiction. And he attributes being able to overcome his drug addiction to Terry's teaching and meditation. So he's like, this woman saved me. Her husband, John, obviously not stoked. And so in 1971, Terry said that John's jealousy was impeding her spiritual journey. And she tries to divorce him and wants to get custody of their kids. And in response to that, John and Terry's mom have her committed for a psychological evaluation. And I'm hoping that this was like in particular because of like her cultiness and not just because she's a woman in the 60s trying to like get out on her own. And so we don't know what the findings were, but she did get released. She got custody of the oldest and John got custody of the youngest too. So like obviously it wasn't, you know, great. Because I think they tend to favor the mom in these situations, especially back then. So they were like, you can handle like one third of these kids. And by the end of the year, Terry and Glenn were married. She divorces John, gets the kids, and then it's just like, quick turnaround. Glenn, we're doing this thing. You're my...
Oh my God, it's kind of like Lori Vallow.
Yeah. If Terry loves anything, it is getting married. Bitch loves getting married. It's like her fave.
She so they get married and he idolized her as like his spiritual leader and guide. And like she's loving that. And so they are seen as the spiritual power couple. And even though they're asking for these love offerings, she's like, I want more. So they start this company called CD Gems, which is Conscious Development Gems. And so it was like homemade expensive jewelry. She and her followers made the jewelry, but then she also told her followers they needed to buy it for their own protection. So it's like the MLM-iest of MLMs.
Yeah. Like, oh, hey, she's like working a sweatshop.
Yeah. She's like, make your necklace. Okay. Now give me a bunch of money for it to protect you.
She's like, I blessed it. So
it's for a blessing now. It's worth it. Yeah. And, but some of the people who are starting to get deep in the organization start noticing some inconsistencies. Like she'd tell different followers the same stories of their past lives. So she'd be like, Ashley, you were John the Baptist in your past life. Allie, you were John the Baptist in your past life. Uh-huh. And you guys just both walk away like, hey, this is great.
Oh, yeah.
John the Baptist. They start noticing like she's plagiarizing other people's work in her lectures and that she doesn't have any financial differentiation between the group's money and her own money. It's just one big pot of money, which is not great. And so we start getting to this place where like, all right, everyone's meditating, everyone's having a good time, but she sees this opportunity where she feels like to unite the group and like really bring them together. And we need this like common enemy to fight. And so that is where we begin the spiritual battles. So if you thought things were like a little wonky, it gets so much wonkier. So she grabs a group of her 40 closest followers, starts referring to them as teachers and spiritual masters, and tells them, hey, it's on you to protect mankind. And she names this inner circle, and this feels problematic, the White Brotherhood.
Yeah, Terry.
She's like ripping off stuff all over the place. It's like, hey, that already exists. It's called like a KKK. Like,
yeah, it exists and it's
not. Yeah.
Yeah, Terror Bear. That's no bueno.
Yeah. And she tells them that there is a war going on between the good and evil forces in the world, and that it's their responsibility to save humanity from the evil forces, which she calls the Black Lords.
Oh, God.
And they're part of the Black Brotherhood.
I'm smelling some Mormonism, too.
It's like, it's problematic. It's gross. And also, like, it's just not inventive. Like, yeah. Well, they're the Black Brotherhood, so we're the White Brotherhood. And, like, they're the Black Lords are in the Black Brotherhood. And so like, she said,
what about the sisterhood, Terry? Oh, yeah. Aren't you the leader? Yeah. You're the leader of the fucking brotherhood? Like, that's weird.
Oh, that's weird. God, the patriarchy is so, it's just so established.
I know.
So she's like, look, these Black Lords are traveling the spiritual realm to fight us. And in order to kill them, you have to take them to the pits of hell, where their soul and lower bodies will be dissolved.
Okay, Terry.
Yeah. But even worse than the Black Lords are the Black Overlords. So, like, one level up. Yeah, they can't be dissolved in the pits of hell. You have to take them to electromagnetic dissolving caves.
Of course you do. Everyone knows
that. Yeah, obviously. Yeah. But worst of all, the Garbons. Which, like, at least this one sounds different, but I also just feel like maybe she was eating some hummus or something, and she's like, God, I love garbanzo
beans. That is exactly what I was just thinking. I was like, I don't know, that sounds like it got, like, a lot less dark all of a sudden.
Yeah, just garbanzos. Well, they're 6 feet tall with long beaks, have a gargoyle-like appearance covered with slime. They've even been known to be able to touch the physical, so they can leave slime on the body of their victims. So everyone else is fighting in the spiritual realm, but like, you might get slimed by a Garbon. And apparently, if after 30 seconds or a minute you feel a tingling sensation in your hand, or if your hand is shaking, you should assume that you have a Garbon stuck to the hand. Using your imagination, wrap it in barbed wire, stab it and kill it. Then imagine the dead Garbon spinning straight up and dissolving in the universe.
So if your hand falls asleep, it's because a Garbon is holding hands with you. Yep.
And you gotta imagination kill it.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So this sounds a little nuts, but like, she's kind of been grooming and like building this group think this whole time. And so she begins, now we go from like these mental, like, individual fights to these full-on spiritual battles where she would tell them, like, hey, we've got 40 Black Lords that we need to fight, so everyone's going to meet up, and you have to bring a rod, a cup, a sword, and a cloth bag containing dirt. And apparently these all represented different archangels that would be with them. But don't worry. These things don't have to be, especially the swords, don't have to be full-sized. So you could bring a pen, or a letter opener, or those teeny tiny plastic cocktail swords.
Oh my, like for like weenies.
That's
like
how you're going to fight the lords with
and
that?
And that's how you're fighting them.
Makes sense.
And so Terry would be like, all right. So they'd be there with their armed with their things. And Terry would be like, all right, there's a Black Overlord in the center of the room. Everyone fight him. And there'd be a circle on the ground. And she would tell them the moves they had to do. And you just have a room full of like accountants and college professors and learned people waggling their sword paraphernalia to kill these mysterious beings.
This is and like LARPing. This is so embarrassing for them.
This is really embarrassing. I'd be really embarrassed if I were you, Terry. And then at the end, she would tell them how many they had killed. And apparently they were just always behind. It was always just like, oh, they're still gaining on us. And at this point, a few people are like, you know, I was with you. I don't think I can do this anymore. And so Terry then told everyone that if you defected or didn't follow her wills, then you were going to be a vessel of the Black Lords. So
she is just checking off all the cult boxes.
Yep. And so this is where our mysterious deaths start happening. So in 1976, Terry decides she's done with Glenn. He'd been saying, I guess, that he was kind of over it, and she beat him to the punch. Divorce went super smoothly. Everyone was like, great, Glenn will still be a part of the group. Like, they're still on good terms. They're just divorced. And all of a sudden, on February 2nd of 1977, Terry calls two of her close friends and followers, Dawn and Alice Hoffman. Terry says she found a note from Glenn leaving all of his money and possessions. And in this note, he, of course, asked that no one contest this leaving all of his possessions to Terry, you know,
that's
normal. Just in case. And she's like, oh, my God, you guys, this is so weird. I'm worried Glenn may have done something drastic. And so they drive to this his parents' cabin, and they find him in bed, foam coming out of the edges of his mouth with a half finished beer and some loose pills next to him. And it appeared he had committed suicide. But at his funeral, Terry starts telling all of their followers that this was the work of the Dark Lords and that the followers needed to commit even harder for their own protection and to save humanity. And then a mere 5 months after Glenn's death, Terry married a different follower, Ben Johnson, and thankfully she had all of Glenn's money and possessions to help them comfortably start their life together.
I didn't even know about Ben. Like, I mean, by the time we get to Mead, we're up to Dawn. I don't even know this Ben character.
Ben, you know, we got Ben. Ben isn't a big, strong character in the story, but he's like,
Jesus.
So as Terry's building her empire, she gets this new follower, Sandy. So she's like, hey, I need someone who is like really financially padded to help back some more of our work. Finds Sandy Cleaver and uses Black Lords and spiritual battles to manipulate Sandy into becoming one of Terry's strongest supporters. So Sandy's wealthy from a trust fund from her parents passing when she was younger. So she's bankrolling conscious development. And Sandy's husband, Chuck, is like, this lady's nuts and she's scamming you out of your money. And Terry's like, and Sandy's like, that's some non-believer shit. And now I'm going to divorce you because you are impeding my spiritual growth.
Duh.
Oh, my God.
So she divorces Chuck, and they had a daughter, Devereaux, who at the time is 13. And Sandy gets awarded custody of Devereaux.
Oh, no.
And Devereaux, as any 13-year-old with a crazy mom would probably be, is like, I don't like this. This is embarrassing. You are embarrassing to me. And Terry sees that and is like, no, Devereaux is a vessel for the Black Lords, and that's why she's acting like this. And so Sandy was like suspicious of her own daughter. So Sandy would leave her daughter for extended periods of time with a maid while Sandy was off on retreats and fighting these spiritual battles.
Now we're definitely getting Valo vibes.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. Also, like, Nexium vibes. The, like, I need to find someone rich to fund my lifestyle. Like,
she's just cherry picking.
All cults. Yeah.
She's like,
I like this.
A little of this cult, a little of that. Yeah. So in the winter of 1978, Sandy and Devereaux's relationship starts improving a little bit because Sandy starts paying more attention to Devereaux. And, you know, as any 13-year-old with an estranged relationship with her mom probably would be, she's like, oh, my God, you're finally like coming to my basketball games and stuff. This is cool.
Yeah.
But it turns out Devereaux is about to turn 14, at which point she would be allowed to determine which of her parents she wanted to live with.
Oh.
So it was kind of this manipulative ploy. And around this time, Sandy drafts a brand new will. You'll never guess who she leaves everything to.
Wait, who?
So Sandy leaves her possessions to Terry. Yeah, you're like, wait, I don't know.
Who, though?
Who is it? Yeah, she leaves everything to Terry. She, like Glenn, she says it shouldn't be contested. And a few days later, weirdly enough, she gets Devereaux to draft a will as well, leaving her entire trust fund, which is $125,000. And if you want to just have your heart break for a second, her rock collection and basketball.
What?
Okay, that's like crazy. That's so sad.
Yeah.
Why, though?
Like, I remember being a... Did anyone else, like, I wrote a will when I was a kid and I, like, left my Barbies to, like, my sister and, like, here's all my worldly possessions.
Really, I was just like, gonna say. That's fucking morbid, dude. Wow.
That's a morbid kid. You. Yeah. So, Sandy had found a new love in a gentleman named Lynn, who is also part of Conscious Development. They fell in love, got engaged, and decided to take a pre-engagement trip or a pre-marriage trip to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And they invite Devereaux. And she's like, oh my God, yay. You guys never invite me anywhere. I get to come with you. So while Lynn's napping on the beach, Sandy and Devereaux take an inflatable raft onto the lagoon. They're paddling out, and as they're paddling, apparently some wind and surf kicks up. Mm-hmm. A wave knocks the raft over, throws Sandy and Devereaux into the water. Sandy comes out of the water, tries to find Devereaux. She can't. She says she gets thrown into the reef and knocked out. She comes to and is screaming. Lynn hears her from the shore, calls rescuers, and they come out. They rescue Sandy, but they can't find Devereaux. Hours later, her body was discovered.
I was going to say, I smell bullshit.
So what's interesting is that when Chuck and Sandy were married before getting divorced, apparently in one of their fights, Sandy had held a knife and said that Devereaux would be better off in heaven. So.
Oh, Jesus.
So Chuck's super suspicious because he's like, look, Terry doesn't like our daughter. You've like said this shit before.
Yeah.
So Chuck's pretty convinced that Terry got Sandy to kill Devereaux for her. And, you know, Terry had convinced Sandy that she was possessed by the Black Lords. So, like, it stands to reason that she might have thought she was saving Devereaux. The one silver lining in this very, like, sad, sad story is that, thankfully, in Texas, minors can't have wills. So Devereaux's possessions didn't go to Terry. Yeah, no basketball, no rock collection. Yeah.
The rock collection stayed with Chuck.
With Chuck. Yeah. So there's the first two of the mysterious deaths. And that's where I'll hand it over to Ash.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Are you ready to keep this fucking train rolling?
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Okay. Well, here we go. All right. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about bloodletting? Because that's what we're going to talk about first.
Is that like leeches? Is that like when you... What is bloodletting?
In this case, in the past, it was leeches, which just like, oh my God, that sounds like the worst fucking thing in the world. But for Terry, as things were escalating, she told her followers... She told her followers that the Black Lords had poisoned their blood, and at their next meeting, they were informed that they were going to start bloodletting, otherwise they would die. So they were, like, taking needles and, like, just donating blood.
So gross.
Which I can't do. Like,
no. Mm-mm. Yeah, I'm scared.
No.
No. I would have been out in this exact moment if I'd made it this far.
Well, by mid-1978, she went from over 100 followers to just a few dozen. So I think maybe a few people were like,
you lost me at the bloodline.
Yeah.
The deaths that are happening.
Yeah, it's getting weird. So Terry informed her remaining followers that she was constantly warding off the toughest of the Black Lords to protect all of them, which was causing her constant pain that could only be remedied by precious stones. Look, you guys, if your girlfriend starts buying up precious stones like no other, watch out.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
As Michelle holds up
yeah,
her pile of
stones. There's no Black Lords in your
my
house.
My precious. The mysterious deaths continue. And next is Kenneth, Terry's son. Just a few months after Devereaux's death, her son Kenneth died after falling from a building on a construction site. It sounds like a freak accident, but weirdly, his life insurance benefits and savings were all left to his wife and kids. No, I'm just kidding. Terry. So it's Terry.
That is crazy.
So this makes three people in 2 years who died suddenly, leaving all of what they had, or if not very large portions, to Terry.
I mean, that's like not normal.
I would start to get suspicious, I think, at this point. I'd be like, that's kind of a lot.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, no matter what religion or spirituality you are, I'm not a religious person, but I feel like it's abnormal to leave your entire savings to, like, your church or your temple, like, or, like, even more than that, like, an individual, like, rabbi or priest or something. Like, I think that that's, you don't do that.
Yeah, they weren't leaving it to the conscious development. They're like, Terry Hoffman.
Yeah, that just feels, this is bad news.
Bad news bears.
This is bad news.
So she says bye-bye to Ben in 1980, and she informs her followers of this via newsletter, which I thought was a fun way to make an announcement.
That is cool.
Like, hey, guys, hope you've had a great summer. So me and Ben are no moss. Accepting love donations.
I imagine like one of those newsletter templates on like Microsoft Word, like the original, like old school templates.
Clippy pops up. He's like, looks like you're making a newsletter to inform your followers of your recent divorce. Do you need some help?
Would you like to use the cult leader template?
Yeah.
So she marries Don Hoffman, and this is super awesome because he's a follower, and he is actually married to Terry's good friend, Alice. But Terry and Don decide that they want to hook up, so Alice gives them written permission to get married, like, ASAP and leaves the cult.
She was threatened. She was definitely threatened.
Terry's like, if you stand in our way, the Black Lords are poisoning your blood, and you just need to get out of here.
Yeah, she's like, you know what? Yeah, I think I'm just going to go.
Just have them.
Yeah, you can have them, you know. There's 1,000 fish in the sea. This is a little pattern that we see. Don later becomes convinced that he has terminal cancer and commits suicide in 1988. Weirdly, again, he left his money to Terry. People love leaving money to Terry. It's,
oh, Jesus.
I don't know if she's like having them write these wills at gunpoint or just like mental gunpoint. Like,
yeah. How do you even start that conversation? Like, hey, honey, like, let's redo your will and leave everything to me. Like, what is that? Or is she like hypnotizing them? Like, I don't think hypnosis works that way, though.
So I did. One of the things that I heard was like, all of the people who are signing as witnesses were members of Conscious Development. So like, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that, yeah, they were either super drugged up or that she was like making them fraudulent or something. Like, yeah. If it's all, there's not like actual attorneys and stuff involved.
Yeah, that's true. She probably wrote the will, and then the, what is it called? The people who like executor, not executor.
I think so. That sounds right.
Or like those people who like have to watch you sign something.
Oh, notary.
Notary. The notary, like maybe she, like one of the people in the cult was like a notary person.
Yeah.
Oh, probably.
Very possible. Well, and like, okay, so super like weird fun fact. If your will is really simple, you can actually just like write your own will and sign it, and like it's legally binding. You can't be like, give 12% of this to this person. But if you're like, hey, give everything to my, you know, my partner or my parents or my sister or whoever, like, that's, you don't have to even get it notarized. You don't have to go to an attorney. You can just like write it on some notebook paper and,
oh my God, that's
hide
insane.
It under your pillow.
That's crazy.
So,
Michelle, if you could just go ahead and sign over things, everything over to me tonight, everything that'd be over. Great. Don't worry. It'll be a great hand.
Hey, patrons.
We're going to have a will making workshop on Thursday.
Everybody get out a piece of paper just for fun.
And then we're going to go to do a wilderness camp out.
Amazing.
Wow. Did we just threaten to murder your and our listeners?
Of course not.
We would never.
Mm-mm. But just leave everything to.
Yeah. You can make that out too. That's Fucked Up the Podcast. Or, and Web Crawlers. Thank you.
And Web Crawlers. Web Crawlers.
We'll split it. Yeah.
50-50 split.
Down the middle.
Perfect.
But keep it simple, or else we'll need
or else we'll need a notary.
Mediator. Yep. Yeah. So. This is really sad. Don did not have cancer.
Oh my God.
He like was fucking fine. Terry, I mean, this isn't like proven anywhere, but I'm guessing old Terry convinced him that he had cancer.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And she does, we see her do this again later too. So it's a fun little pattern of hers. So now we're up to the fourth suspicious death. I think Michelle talked a little bit earlier about Sandy Cleaver, and Sandy and Terry really bonded over the deaths of their children. So Sandy became like stuck to Terry's side at this point. She gave Terry her house and started paying rent to Terry to live in it.
Just as you will.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. She also took out a $300,000 life insurance policy. Good. I think Terry was probably throwing a lot of how to do a will workshops.
A lot. Yeah. A lot.
Like she was on this. Workshops. She was like on. She borrowed it from Scientology. She was like on the street corner like, do you want a free stress test? And then she's like, oh, my God, you have heart disease.
Make a will.
Make
right
a will.
Now.
I got you. I can see how this.
Totally.
See how she did it. She was also told by Terry that she was a former high priestess of Atlantis. And 3 months later, Louise, Sandy's elderly housekeeper, who did not want to go on this trip, joined Sandy on a trip to Colorado Springs. What up, Colorado? Even though this next part's a bummer. For a conscious development retreat. Sandy and Louise had driven off of a 450-foot cliff.
Oh, my God.
But shout out to Colorado.
Yeah, but hey, Colorado.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, it is very sad. There were no skid marks or anything on the road. So it definitely seems like Sandy had convinced, because and they had taken out a life insurance policy on
the housekeeper. Mm-hmm. This is fucking bad.
How is no one noticing this? Like, where's the FBI or whoever takes care of this shit?
Yeah, this is so many murders around one, or deaths around one person, like,
right?
Whoever handles death certificates should be like, this is weird.
This is weird. This is starting to feel like
this
a trend.
This person should have been fired. 100%.
Hey, Stuart, we got another Terry Hoffman here. Yeah, the fourth. Yes, the fourth one.
Or I guess it's like a life insurance person. Whoever's giving out the life insurance should be like, why is this woman getting so much life insurance? This feels weird.
Yeah. And more people, you know, it's give her life insurance money. I wrote everything left to Terry. Aren't we bored of this by now? It's just like, oh, okay, fucking, let's just put the record on repeat. All right. Everybody leaves everything to Terry. We can just assume that at this point. So Sandy's brother was suspicious. He's like, I don't know who this bitch is. And I don't know why my sister would leave everything to her. So he contests the will.
Finally.
And Terry, not wanting like heat on her, you know, she opts to settle out of court and splits Sandy's trust and life insurance with her brother.
What a nice
woman.
Isn't
that nice?
It's like, I'll share.
Okay. Fine. Havesies.
Yeah. Good karma points for Terry.
You know what? If she believed, I feel like something that I often wonder is like, how much are these people actually buying their own bullshit? And if you really believe in karma, like, do you not realize that you're like racking up a lot of the bad kind?
It's crazy. Yeah, I know. I don't know what these people are thinking. Like, she must not truly believe it, or she believed it at first and then realized like, oh, I can make a lot of money and just like, this life will be great. Who knows what the next one will be, you know?
YOLO or not. I don't know.
Yeah. That Yobo. Was kind of the question I was asking myself this whole time was like, is she a cult leader bought into her own mysticism, or is she like a manipulative, like, I don't believe in any of this, but I'm going to make you all so that you follow me.
If you're listening, call in and let us know what you think, because I mean it's weird, like, and probably with all cult leaders, like, do you think they believe, or do they believe in the beginning and then just get tied into the ego of it, or like, what do
that's
you think?
What I think, I mean, I think some people definitely go out with malicious intent to begin with, but I do think that a lot of people are, you know, they say that path to hell is paved with good intentions. Like, I do believe that sometimes people in the beginning really think they are doing something good for these other people, usually because they're narcissists. So they're like,
yes.
I totally know. So I can like definitely help you guys. And then the more people are like, wow, you're helping me, they're like, wow, it's probably because I'm reincarnation of Jesus or something. And then I think,
or a nun.
It just takes off from there.
Yeah. Also, I'm wondering, like, when she had that initial, I'm hearing voices and I'm seeing visions, like, is that schizophrenia or is that some sort of disorder maybe? And that's, I mean, who knows how that has played out through the, I mean, I just, I don't know. I don't know.
One of the things in one of my sources, they were talking about this phenomena of like sensed presence visions, where like if you're in a very, like you're experiencing a lot of trauma or like a really hard emotional time, you'll like, it's not uncommon for people to feel kind of a sensed presence of like,
oh, interesting.
Oh, someone's with me. You know, people like, oh, like I felt the spirit of the Lord with me, or like I felt like my grandma was there with me. Like, and so there are some theories that like, because she had been going through this like really difficult traumatic time, that maybe that vision was like this sensed presence phenomena kind of taking off. So,
oh, that's cool. I'm going to Google that. That's interesting. Sensed presence.
Also, though, she doesn't seem like the most mentally stable woman that I've heard of.
That's fair.
So might be some stuff going on, you know, in the background.
Get your cocktail swords, please.
There's this newspaper article that comes out and it kind of is like, hey, this bitch isn't cool. So she kind of goes into hiding for a little bit. But after the scandal dies down, she like totally rebrands. And man, a rebrand can just like really help a cult leader out. I mean,
yes.
Bhagwan going turning into Osho. People still quote Osho like every fucking day. It's like, you know, he was a cult leader who tried to murder people and sexually abuse them. But like, no, totally. Just like look around you and take a breath in and know that all is well. Osho. Ashley Richards.
So amazing. That's
funny. Or, who is it? Wayne Gretzky.
Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott.
Oh my God. That's really funny.
So she is doing counseling meetings and counseling sessions and small meetings from her house. And she even built a conscious development group in Chicago and an acupressure massage business just to like round it all out.
Round it out.
Why not?
I heard she was thinking about buying a laundromat for a while, but
yeah, donut shop.
Yeah, just, you know, whatevs.
You got to diversify.
Exactly. Like Wu-Tang said, you better diversify your bonds. You guys are like, what? They did, though, I swear.
Not a Wu-Tang head, but I believe you.
So she also starts selling magic jewelry again, advising on finance and career changes, writing a book on manifesting wealth. I mean, she's... I don't know when she's
Jack
sleeping.
Of all trades.
Yeah. She's fucking busy. Wow.
Boss Lady Terry.
Yeah, the book was actually called How to Kill Your Followers and Steal Their Money. Huge hit. Number one times bestseller.
I'm really glad she wasn't alive during Instagram.
Oh my God.
She would have had the most annoying Instagram presence, I bet you.
Yes. Yes.
Wait, speaking of annoying Instagram presence, I want to see if you guys can guess what another move of hers was. What does every kind of like washed up singer or pop star or television show person, like what do they come out with when they're no longer relevant?
A reality show?
Come on. But like, they'll have a reality show.
Makeup, shoes.
Ooh, makeup. You're warm. You're warm on makeup. Paris Hilton.
Perfume?
Yes!
Perfume? Oh my God!
Excellent.
So she totally has her own line of perfume.
Stop
She's
it.
Got everything.
She.
Oh my God.
She's got her hands in all the pies just in case something doesn't work out, you know? But for somebody who like believed so much in manifesting, it's like, why don't you just believe in like your perfume line or something? Like, but she wants it all. She wants the world, Terry. Mm-hmm. She's out of control.
I'm trying to find it, like to buy it, but I can't.
You're like, I need this.
I'm so curious about what it would smell like, but I can't find it.
It was probably in the 80s. I don't know if you would want anything 40. Oh
yeah,
my
I have
God,
a feeling they're not still
not selling production.
You know what, though? Like, if anybody could find that on eBay, you should do it and send it to Allie. Yeah. And
yeah, or send it to you
like,
guys.
I'm like one of us. And we could do like a sisterhood of the traveling.
Yeah,
perfume type of
it
thing.
It smells different on everyone based on your Akashic records.
But it smells good different. For everybody, though, no matter what your body type is.
Oh, my God.
So the deaths continue.
You know, but everyone smells
amazing. But everybody smells amazing. Yeah. One of Terry's followers, Robin Ostot, rose to second in command role at some point, but it seems like quite a few people rose to like second in command. I feel like she kind of threw that title out willy nilly. Like, oh, yeah, this is my right hand man, John.
Yeah.
Here's my other right hand man, like Bill. And then I don't know why I'm being so sexist.
Robin.
And then Michelle, my right hand lady, Allie, Ashley, you know, she just like, had a ton of right-hand friends. So it's like, I don't know. That second in command doesn't sound like it means a whole lot in Terry's world. Yeah. It's like the assistant.
Doesn't hold a lot of
weight. No. Assistant to the regional manager. Are you an Office fan? Because me and Okay, me and Michelle will like go off all day with these references.
I do love The Office. Yes.
Love The Office. Assistant to the cult leader. So this is sad, but also like really fun. Terry convinced Robin that her soulmate was an invisible CIA agent named George G, which kind of reminds me of like George Glass.
Yeah, what?
Your soulmate's a man named George Tropicana. No, I mean George G.
George G. He's invisible. He's a CIA agent, and they can never meet because of matters of national security.
This is the craziest thing she's done, in my opinion.
No. So Robin journals about dinners and long conversations and walks on the beach, everything that her and George did together. She was incredibly happy with her invisible CIA agent.
Her invisible CIA agent.
Men, you can't love them. You can't love without them. Am I right, ladies?
This is insane.
Honestly, some of my past relationships would have been way easier if the men had just been invisible CIA agents.
Yeah, some of them felt like invisible CIA agents. Yeah. I get it.
Oh, God, it's so true.
They're like, she's like, it's not that weird. So in April 1987, her health took a bit of a turn. She probably had like the fucking common cold or something. But Terry informs her that she had gotten a fatal hepatitis infection from the Black Lords via a banana peel.
Okay.
So let's just that. Okay. I mean, what's that? Let that sink in. Like, I don't even. Not.
Can't even.
Not the banana itself. Like. The peel. That's the most powerful part. Everybody knows that, you guys. So later that month, surprise, surprise, really sadly, Robin dies by suicide, leaving a note behind just for Terry, nothing for her son or her family, saying that she apologizes 3,000 times every day or some shit for like something that she said to Terry the week before that was offensive. Right, Michelle? I don't have the exact wording in front of me. But
essentially that.
The suicide note was basically like dude, I'm so sorry.
I'm so Terry. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. God.
And nothing to her family.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So I think she just didn't want to die slowly from the hepatitis banana peel. And she felt so bad for, you know, all of the terrible things she was doing to Terry, like giving her her money and just like being such a bitch, dude. And like Dawn, again, seeing a pattern, she wasn't actually sick and she left all her money to Terry. Terry must have so much money by now.
Yeah, Terry's probably loaded.
This becomes such a lather, rinse, repeat, too. Of like, it's just bananas. There you go. It's like, how many people? Oh man. I was like, God, I didn't even know I did that.
The story is bananas. Excellent. Yeah. Nice. So next we have Mary Levinson. She was a member of the smaller Chicago chapter, and she attended retreats, spent one-on-one time with Terry. She was like super consumed with the cult immediately. She also believed in reincarnation and was desperate to take the next step in her spiritual journey. She wrote that she didn't feel like doing the soul work that like she needed to do in this lifetime. So on November 30th, 1987, Mary took an overdose of pills and died by suicide only a few days after receiving a $125 divorce settlement.
$125,000. I mean, that's so fishy. This is crazy.
They also found like a small needle mark on her somewhere. So I call bullshit. Oh. I feel like she.
I call bullshit too.
Like poisoned them with. I feel like so one of her minions poisoned Mary with some sort of like indetectable.
Yeah. Also, just weird that all these people are like dying of suicide. The allegedly the same way of like pill. I don't know. It's just weird. This is
fairy teal this swan.
A pretty consistent.
She's like
MO.
The OG teal swan. Less hot though.
Yeah. I Googled Terry Hoffman Teal Swan to see if like Teal Swan ever like referenced her, but I couldn't find anything because I was like, I wouldn't put it past Teal Swan to like quote her or something, but no.
You know, I bet she wouldn't give Terry credit, but she definitely stole some of Terry's shit.
Oh, for sure.
Because I don't know if you know, I mean, I'm sure you do, but Teal has access to all the Akashic records.
Oh, well, obviously. Yeah, Teal's God, essentially.
Yeah, so, like, don't worry about that.
Fun sidebar, one of my friends was actually, like, Teal's right-hand person for a while and dated Teal's ex. Like, Teal set her up with her ex.
Excuse you? Do you have any inside scoops?
It was my friend's friend. So she showed me the girl's, like, Instagram and how she's, like, crying about the documentary about Teal and saying everything's so unfair. And so she has some stories.
The new documentary?
Yeah.
That was just out?
Yeah. So, and...
Wait, the little European girl, she's crying and saying it's unfair?
I didn't watch the Teal Swan documentary. You know this.
But, oh God, we have to binge or bust it.
But yeah, so my friend, who's actually her name is also Allison. She told me that this girl who like went to follow Teal, like one day was talking to her and trying to convince her that her dad had molested her when she was a kid, and she's like, nope, none of that.
Yeah, she tells the same story like to everyone. Yeah, so,
everybody got molested as a kid.
Yeah.
Teal's book.
So there's my fun, like 6 degrees of separation from Teal Swan, I guess.
That's crazy. And your friend still like, or your friend's still friend, like still stands by Teal.
Yep. Very much still in the Teal-osphere.
Ah, you need to send me the Instagram link because now I need to see if it's the girl that I'm thinking of from the documentary.
I'll text Allison.
And then I will tell you about the documentary because I'll probably be giving you the low on your friend's. Friends.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if it's that blonde girl who was dating.
That's
Blake.
What I'm saying.
It is a blonde girl. I know that.
Thank you. Blake. Is it Blake that you're talking about?
Probably. Michelle? Okay. I'll text. I'm so sorry. I didn't come prepared with this information. I didn't know this would come
together.
Up.
God.
I'll figure this out. I'll email the group.
Yeah. You got it.
Okay.
I'm curious.
Because I'm like really certain that she's referencing Blake and the.
And that blonde
the blonde chick.
Probably. That feels like it could be right. I'll ask. I'll find out.
Yeah. Okay. Let us know, please. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Circle back on this. Take this offline.
So let's see. Who dies next? Okay. So actually now we don't have a death, but we have like a strange disappearance. So Charles Southern, and this is just a few days after Mary's death, and he's another Chicago branch member. He goes missing. His family is like, where the fuck is he? He had been super involved in Conscious Mind and basically suffered a breakdown. So they found him and they took him to the hospital. And then when he got out, he was like, you know, like, I'm done with that stuff. I'm actually going to India, because he had been kind of like on this soul searching worldwide journey forever. And everybody knows if you're going to go find yourself, you have to go to India. I mean, like,
yeah, of course. It's the first part of Eat, Pray, Love.
Yeah. So, like, step one. No.
Oh, it's the second part. It's the pray
second,
part.
Yeah.
That you I was daily. Like,
how I know, dare
how
you?
Sorry. Dare you?
I'm sorry to our Lord and Savior, Julia Roberts.
Excuse me. The movie sucked. The book was awesome. What up, Liz Gilbert? Okay. Sorry. I just had to, like, throw that out there. So he says he's going to India and he becomes uncommunicative for weeks. And they go to his house because they're not able to get a hold of him. And he was supposed to have returned from India for like a couple weeks ago. And they find his passport sitting on his desk with no India stamps. Like he had never left the country. He also, like, folded up some black clothes and put, like, a black hat on top of it, which is, like, a Nigerian symbol for death, I guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Who knew? He has never been seen again. There was a Unsolved Mysteries episode that I watched on him.
Oh.
And he's just like, he had a mental breakdown. Then he said that he like wasn't going to be involved in the cult anymore. And he was going to go find himself somewhere else. And that nobody ever saw him again.
Oh, sounds like God. The Black Lords got him.
Yeah.
Ugh. God damn it. Every fucking time. So now this is, okay, so now we're like deviating away from this suicide and money pattern. Because now we have Jill Bounds, and this is a really brutal murder. In 1988, just 4 days after Dawn's suicide, Jill Bounds was found brutally murdered. She was a follower of Terry's and deep into the metaphysical, always consulting her tarot cards and astrological charts and just like obviously super into Terry. That was her jam. And people got really worried one day when she didn't show up for work. So she had decided to leave the cult. And like so many domestic abuse relationships, you're actually in more danger often when you leave.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Which is such a like misconception that people are like, why don't they just leave? It's like, because
yeah, people don't get it.
Yeah. They might get murdered. That's why.
Easy. Yeah.
Yeah. Terry sent cockroaches to Jill's house to like get her home infested.
No,
which is
don't like that.
Like really creatively fucked up.
That's insane. Cause at some point Terry had to like first come up with that idea. Then, like, procure the cockroaches and then take them over to the house. Like, that's nuts. That's, I mean, that's...
You're crazy. Like, that is the craziest thing I've heard all day. Okay. Now, that is bananas.
Now, that, I draw the line at the cockroaches.
Everything else. All right. Nope. Yeah. We are at this hard pass.
Yeah. So, like I said, she was found brutally murdered after she had left the cult and Ben had her house infested with cockroaches. And her mom found a strange drawing outside of her house that was like weirdly culty. It had the letter J, a bunch of grapes, an omega symbol, the last letter in the Greek alphabet, and a penis surrounded by several lightning bolts that were often called the satanic S.
Well, I know my next tattoo.
Oh my God, please. Can we all get matching ones? Please put it on your neck. Please make this a neck tattoo.
That's insane.
I will pay you $1,000 to get that tattooed on your neck.
Hey, Webcrawler patrons. We're start a GoFundMe.
$1,000 patrons.
Oh, gosh.
So David and Glenda Goodman are our next victims. Around 1988, you know, everybody else has fucking died or been killed. So she's got to get some new people to fund her adventures. Oh. So no way.
I just Googled penis surrounded by lightning satanic. And I clicked on a link and I...
Oh, never ooh. Click on it.
Oh, sorry. Sorry for if you heard me say ooh. And if you're watching the video...
Wait, it was... I want to see it.
No, it's... it was
horrible. Oh, okay.
No, I mean, I can still send it to you if you want. No. But it was
I thought maybe it would be like a funny drawing or something.
No, it's horrible.
Was somebody like dressed like the devil? Like in like red horns and everything. Like,
no. The link said is penis enlargement satanic. So I was like, that's a weird article. Like I wonder. And so I clicked it, and then it was a man doing stuff to his
clickbait. They got you,
Ellie. I'm glad that you. Yeah, I'm glad again. That you warned us because this is my day job computer that I use for recording, and I don't need IT.
Yeah, you don't need that.
No, reaching out. Like, yeah. Why were you Googling?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Satanic penis.
Anyways.
Oh, boy.
Continue.
So she meets David and Glenda Goodman, who actually aren't David and Glenda Goodman when they meet. They're strangers. And she's like, you know what? You guys are right for each other. Let's make this a fish. So she like introduces and marries them. Weirdly, oh, they both have a ton of money.
Surprise, surprise.
I don't hang out with poor people. Like, yeah. Ew, yeah. You know? She told both of them that they had been reincarnated 800,000 times. That would be so that would be so discouraging to me. I'd be like, wait, I'm sorry. I've lived 800,000 like, when do we stop this? Yeah. This seems like a lot.
Like, I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Also, the planet hasn't even, like, humans haven't even been alive for that long.
Put your questions on the shelf, Allie.
Yeah.
That's what they say in Mormonism. And that's when we say when we don't know the answer to things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that just makes sense.
I feel like it's the Black Lords that are making you question this.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. Yeah, I have a lot of themes.
We get on. Yeah. Yeah. Auto like attacking you. Get him out of you.
Crazy. And they even apparently used to be Adam and Eve and the Roman god and goddesses, Jupiter and Venus. So
that's
fun. I mean, like, kind of a big deal. No biggie.
Yeah.
They had intense drug-induced meditation with Terry to talk to God. Not going to lie, but I kind of feel like you're more likely to have a, like, I talk to God experience if you take drugs first.
Seems yeah. Legit.
Sure. As somebody who's like done a lot of drugs in my life, but who is sober now.
Woohoo! Oh, hey, Queen.
Hey, you two.
Yeah.
High five. Air five for people who can't see.
I don't do anything worse than smoking weed.
Get out of here.
Yeah. You can't sit with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I've had some pretty godly experiences. So it's like, she's like, I feel like that really shows a lack of faith in your ability, because you don't even think that you can convince people that, like, they're in a purple realm where they have a crystal titty with, like, a crystal house.
Wait, did you say crystal titty? Because I think it says Crystal City.
Crystal City. Everybody has crystal titties there, too. It's a wonderful place.
That's so funny.
I'm fine with the crystal titties, but I don't think that's what you meant.
It's a crystal city. They got crystal titties. They were like super stoked. They're like, here, you should have some cars and money and stuff like that. But after they had given her almost or over $100,000 and they still weren't at her level of spirituality, they were kind of like, dude, what the fuck? Like, we've given you a lot of money and meditated with you and stuff a bunch, and we're still feeling like pretty human. So she's like, yeah, well, obviously that's because you're still connected with your family and they're stealing your energy.
Ooh, big cult energy.
Classic cult move 101.
Yeah. All right. You have to stop talking to everyone you're close with and only talk to me.
That's how you reach the next level.
Yeah.
So you guys, guess what happens next? Come on.
They live long, prosperous lives and end up finding their way. They die of old age, holding hands together, and everyone's happy.
Super warm. But I'm going to give Allie a guess, too.
They leave all their money to Terry and then disappear or die in a suicide.
Yeah, like a murder-suicide Romeo-Juliet type of thing. Except for, like, I don't know if the crime scene made, like, a whole lot of sense. There were, like, two guns and there was, like, a notebook at the edge of – at the end of their feet that was, like a written will that was, like, we leave everything to Terry.
It's all you need.
Like Michelle said, that's all you need. So I don't know, guys. I'm feeling a little suspicious if all of these are really suicides.
I don't know,
you know?
Yeah.
So to wrap it up, formal investigations and civil suits finally start to pop up against Terry. Finally, people are like, you know what? Things feel shady around this lady. She's a shady lady. That Terry
with her seedy gems.
And there was no concrete evidence that she was the cause of any of these deaths, unfortunately. But she did go broke and filed for bankruptcy in 1991. But she didn't report all of her assets because she's an asshole. So she got charged with bankruptcy fraud. She spent a year in prison. I personally can't say that I think justice was served.
No, 100% no.
Especially because she got out and changed her name to Terry Keenly. Weirdly kept the first name. I feel like I would have just done a total rebrand.
Yeah.
And then she married another dude. So I guess we're on to, I heard that five is the lucky number. Hmm. Lucky number five. Yeah, God. Right? And in 2005, she started selling pictures online of, like, she called them angel photographs. They were, like, fucking stupid. Just think of, like, any website in 2005 and
GeoCities.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, it can't be seen by the naked eye. Oh. And then she died at 77 in 2015.
I think she died on Halloween.
Did she?
I think that.
I hate when I'm not as prepared as somebody else.
Terry Hoffman Day.
No, only just only because I just Googled her. Yeah. Oh wait. She died October 31st.
Oh, spooky. Fitting.
Very fitting. Yeah. Very spooky.
Very fitting for an evil bitch.
Yeah. Also,
that's kind of like the only interesting thing about her dying on Halloween. I mean, everything's interesting, but that's like the only like actual like. Spooky thing.
She's
about
just
her,
so basic textbook cult leader.
Yeah,
such a scammer. Wow, this was crazy. I've never heard of her before, but I love a female cult leader. Someone called in once and was like, there's no female cult leaders, and we were like, no, that's not true, there's like a ton of female cult leaders.
We're like, we got you,
we just don't hear about them. Yeah, I don't think we hear about them as much, so we love a female cult leader. Guys, remind us again, like your social media, your, where you can find your podcast, all that kind of stuff.
Okay. I'll go first. So you can find everything on our website, tsfuthepodcast.com. We have bingo that you can play along with our episodes, murder bingo, cult bingo, bingo, fucked up bingo. We also have a page there where you can go and check out That's So Fucked Up Presents. We just did our Colorado Carnage season, and now we have New York Noir coming out. And yeah, you can find our merch store, everything.
All right there.
Yeah, it's kind of a one-stop shop, tsfuthepodcast.com.
Mm-hmm. And at tsfuthepodcast on Instagram. And we also have a Discord. Would you guys have a Discord, right? I need to join your Discord.
We love our Discord. What? Yeah, guys, join their Discord. Yeah.
Oh, let's be in all the Discords.
Let's all join forces.
I love that.
Yeah. Oh my God. Discord is so fun. We love our Discord community. They're like, and they like meet up with each other. It's so cute.
What? I love that.
Yeah, it's really
cool. Do you have a name for your fans?
I've met up with my listeners.
Yeah.
Because I'm still really small time like that. You know, I'm like, Michelle's like, do you want to be my friend? Is that weird? I'm like, I actually don't have any friends. So it's not weird.
I promise I won't single white female you.
I'll take you up on it.
I would. I just don't think we have Los Angeles listeners, to be honest.
Get out of here. You're about to get so many DMs. That's like, bitch, you better have a meetup soon. You just like, I know. You just called yourself out.
Oh, wait. And
Allie, we'll come, though. That would be fun.
Oh, that would be fun. I'd definitely come hang out.
Yeah.
Allie, do we get to do the sign off where we change our middle name to a thing that...
Oh my God, yes. I would love that. All right. So guys, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much for listening. I am Allie CD Gems Siegel. Mm.
And I'm Michelle Cocktail Sword for a Real Sword Mosier.
Oh, this is fun. Okay. I'm Ashley Insurance Scam Richards.
Love it.
So good. All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Erio's original.
Powered by Acast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.